We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome to Over Night America. Feel like I should be a little frozen doing that one. Man, is it cold? Come on now. It's kind of not fair. Why is it always the coldest nights we find a way to join up down in Florida? Not Jupiter this time around. Chris Raby with Cardinal spring training underway. Chris, man, how's it going?
Good, man. We are coming to you from Tampa. Nice. And had the first game of a three-game Cardinals road trip today. And yeah, it's definitely not cold down here, so I won't complain. And I don't know, I may just have to extend my trip and stay down here a little bit longer.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that's boilerplate way to open up any segment when it's cold in St. Louis and warm in Florida. It's pretty much
there you go.
That's like the standard way of opening things. All right, so I wanted to get some general impressions of the Cardinals, what you've seen so far. Are there any surprises, perhaps, that may have taken you by surprise so far in spring training?
I think one of the bigger surprises is that Alex Reyes, top prospect, tantalizing talent, exploded onto the scene in 2016, then had Tommy John surgery, and then had to have shoulder surgery last year. Maybe not a surprise, a pleasant surprise, though, is that he is on track and even ahead of schedule, and we're going to see Alex in a Grapefruit League game tomorrow. It'll be the first time he's pitched in spring training in, like, 3 years. Mm. And you know, he's a guy who Ryan, I think, has maybe the highest ceiling of not just any pitcher, but any player within the entire Cardinals organization. After he had to have Tommy John surgery in 2017, was remarkable, unbelievable, coming back on a rehab assignment through the minors last year. In fact, when he pitched for the AAA Memphis Redbirds last year, he became the first player in 116 years of that AAA league to strike out. He struck out nine batters, the entire lineup, in a row, in order. So that's how good this guy is. He's dealt with some injuries, but he's on track, and he's going to pitch tomorrow, which I think is a little bit sooner than really anyone a month or so ago even thought. So I think that's maybe the surprise of camp right now, and I think that he certainly could become a factor in terms of not just the Cardinals' opening day roster and some of the decisions that they're going to have to make, but potentially could be a guy who could, you know, kind of force his way into the starting rotation.
You know, I've also been very curious of Goldschmidt and him and how he's gelling with the team, how he's looking.
Yeah.
What's your impressions of the big acquisition from the Cardinals?
Awesome guy, just baseball guy, kind of a low-key guy, and someone that's, I think, going to affect every area of the game for the Cardinals. He is, in my opinion, in terms of all around what he does, offensively, defensively, on the base paths, as a guy in the clubhouse, I think he's one of the best three, four, five players in the entire league. Ooh. So he's unlike anyone the Cardinals have had since the departure of Albert Pujols. Obviously is you know, I know it's a cliche, but just kind of a baseball guy. Seems to be fitting in really well, starting to play well, starting to hit the ball pretty hard. And I think people are just really excited about what he's going to bring. And then you start to wonder about, you know, the courtship period, or if he enjoys his time in St. Louis, then could the Cardinals potentially try to figure out something over the course of the season to keep him in St. Louis for a while?
Yeah, where are you drafting him in your fantasy draft? Is he a first rounder?
Oh, yeah. First rounder.
No questions.
Well, and I'm always someone, I guess I go bats over pitching, but yeah, I mean, he's right there. He's first round for sure.
I have a couple of more questions, but we have to throw it back to the KMOX newsroom. There's just one little thing we have to get to real quick. Can you Let me get to George Sells in the KMOX newsroom. You say there's some traffic news, some highways closed down,
yeah,
George?
Yeah, some quick breaking news here on the traffic front. If you're on 170 northbound or heading in that direction at Airport Road, there was an accident up there that was slowing down some traffic a few minutes ago. They have now closed the interstate, according to MoDOT. 170 northbound at Airport Road has been shut down. No word at this point on when it will be reopened. You're being asked to use alternate routes if you're heading up in that direction.
All right. Hey, George, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Good update. How about that? Do you rent a car?
Yeah,
down there?
I've got an update. There were no delays into downtown Tampa.
Is that right?
About 62 degrees, so I had to throw pants on instead of shorts. But
do you have to get an Uber, or do you actually rent cars down there?
No, I've got a rental car. I mean, I've had a rental car for about a month now. So,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
So.
That's not bad. Hey, has your family joined you down there yet?
Yeah, my parents came down a week or so ago when I was in Jupiter. My sister flew down for a night as well. So we had a blast. This is like the fifth year that I've been down here. Mm-hmm. Maybe sixth, I don't know, fifth or sixth year.
Yeah.
And my parents now have been down probably three or four times, I guess maybe four times. And
yeah,
they love it, man. Like, they would come down here even if I wasn't down here. And I always tell people it's, you know, a fairly easy trip to make from St. Louis in terms of getting down to West Palm, mm-hmm, both logistically and in terms of cost, whether you're flying Southwest or Frontier. And then, you know, just the area in Jupiter, we're up in Tampa now, but the area in Jupiter is so incredible in terms of restaurants and things to do. And then, like, you're watching a baseball game, and it's like the month of February, and you're in this little minor league ballpark, and you're right on top of these guys, and you can hear everything and see everything, and just, it's just an incredible experience. So, you know, I always urge people to come down and get a little taste, yeah, of it, because it's pretty cool. It really is.
So you've been going down for a few years, and Chris.
And by the way, your Tigers beat the Cardinals today. We were up in Lakeland for that game. We went to Tiger Town, Ryan.
Ah, Tiger Town. I like the name of that, Tiger Town.
Yeah.
So you've been going down to Jupiter for the last couple of years. You've had a chance to see the team under a couple of different managers. Mike Schilt, this is his first one, spring training. How has he, what impressions has he left on you going through spring training for the first time?
I think it's been great. I think that things are a little bit different. I think that partially because of some of the personnel they have and some of the changes they made, but also because of who Mike is. And, you know, with all due respect to Mike Matheny, he won a ton of games as the manager of the Cardinals, but I just think there's a bit of a different feel to things. And I think some of that started as Mike Schilt took over last year, the day before the All-Star break in July. I think that some of it might have to do with, you know, the fact that he has been working very, very closely with the front office and has been since he's been coming up through the ranks. And I just think some of it is that he's just a different dude than Mike Matheny. So it's been great so far. I think one thing that's really cool is he's bringing in different speakers and different guys to speak to the team. And I don't know if you saw the story yesterday, but Dabo Swinney, the head coach of the Clemson football team, the defending NCAA, you know, college football playoff champions, he came in to speak to the Cardinals. And if you talk to anyone who's ever been around Dabo, he's one of the most inspiring, fiery guys ever. And he came in and he spoke to the Cardinals. He said he had never met Mike Schilt, but Mike Schilt got connected with him, gave him a call, asked him if he'd come down and speak. And Dabo thought so highly of him and the Cardinals that, as Clemson has already started practice this spring, he flew down on Saturday night and spoke to the team yesterday. So those are just some of the wrinkles. Mike Matheny did some of the same things, but, you know, I'm just happy for Mike Schilt, happy that he's starting to make camp his own, and it's been pretty exciting.
Last quick question. Does Fred Bird travel with the team?
He will make a cameo.
Oh, how about that? Cool.
Not full-time, because, you know, Fred Bird has his Fred Bird duties back in St. Louis, but we'll see Fred Bird down here in Jupiter for sure.
Awesome. Chris Raby down in Florida. Are you calling any games anytime soon?
Yeah, so today we had the Tigers game.
Right.
We are in Clearwater for the Cardinals and Phillies tomorrow.
Are you doing that one?
I've got that one.
Awesome.
That game at 12:05 St. Louis time. And then I will be on the call for the Cardinals and Yankees on Wednesday.
Ooh, Cardinals and Yankees even.
Yankee Stadium down here.
You can catch those online. And, man, you do a great job
with
it. You really do. So, Chris Raby. Yes.
And I have to say, too, I know everybody back there is busting their tail, and whether it's, you know, Zach Schmidt or Ben Boyd, but especially our guy Mike Anderson, you know, everybody down there is doing a great job to make sure that we're on the air and we're connected and everything's running smoothly. So love you guys and can't do it without you guys. And since I've been talking so much crap about the weather, hopefully I don't get bit too bad on my way back.
I hope not either. All right. Chris Raby, thank you so much for joining
us
buddy. Here.
I'll see you next week.
We'll see you. That's Chris Raby down in Florida, traveling with the team, doing his thing and doing excellent work. Excellent work covering the Cardinals, and make sure to check them out online. If you want to hear Chris Raby call the game, just go online, GameOX.com. You can check out some of those web-exclusive games. And then, of course, there's some games that will be airing here over the air on GameOX.com as well. Coming up next, this is kind of stupid, you know, but I like doing stupid things. It's cold. So I thought, you know what? I wonder if there's any good Mr. Freeze puns we can play out with the cold here in St. Louis. Don't shake your head, Producer Mike. There's some pretty good, there's some diamonds in the rough there. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News at the top of every hour. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Welcome back to Overnight America. So it's 10:20 in St. Louis, Missouri. Chris Raby was joining us live from Florida, where it's 11:20. And I know that he was working late doing Sports Open Line. He got some dinner, and he still made time to give a call back to this show, so I really do appreciate him. I really do. What a cool dude. I get a couple of calls. I'm actually kind of surprised we're getting some calls here. I like getting calls. You know, the nice thing about doing the show is that we have the flexibility at night to just kind of do the things that feel right. Seems like I'm doing like a slow jam song. We're just going to be together. And Scott calling in from Crystal City. Hey, Scott.
Oh, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
I like that I get calls. That's a really nice thing there.
I do. But, that's the thing. Sometimes we don't, and like you called in, we didn't really prompt you to call in, but you did because you wanted to. I like that. So I'm glad you did.
Well, I got a friend that lives down in Alabama and they listen to KMOX. They can pick up KMOX down there. And, I tried to call them tonight and, I haven't gotten through. I'm hoping the power's out, but I just want to apologize to everybody down there, or just not apologize, but feel sorry for the people that had to go through that whole tornado situation down there. That is a very horrible thing, and I just wanted to.
Yeah. Well, we've seen.
I hope he's listening. I really do, but I think the power went out in that whole a lot of area down there.
Were you calling a landline or a cell phone?
It was a cell phone, but sometimes he can pick up his cell phone signal and sometimes he can't, you know?
Well, that's the thing, you don't know.
I got a friend in Florida that can do the same thing, but it's just...
Do you have any other way you can communicate with him? Have you friends on any social media networks, anything like that?
Well, I did text a friend in Louisiana that I was in the Navy with, and he hadn't heard from him either. And
I see.
I hope everything's okay down there, and I hope I feel very sorry for the people that lost family.
Yeah,
and that's all I wanted to say.
There's some of those horrifying stories where people were hiding inside their home. A tornado goes over, and they said it must have been moving pretty quick because there was a point where she felt like she was lifted off the ground, and if the thing was there any longer, she'd have been sucked up.
Yeah, I didn't see too much about it, and I didn't know that was happening, but there was a couple of children that were killed. It was a mile-wide tornado, which is kind of the size of the tornado that hit Joplin, actually.
Yeah.
And that's just unfortunate.
Yes, it is. All right, Scott. Well, do you want to say your friend's name? Would he be mad if you said his name on air?
His name is Dave.
Dave. All right, Dave. Maybe you may be out there. And that's the thing. There's so much local media down there that would be covering this. I'm sure you'd be listening to something closer. But just
it's Carol, Dave and Carol, and I hope their children and them are all right. That's all I'm saying. You know, that's all.
Thanks.
And everybody else, you know, that I don't know in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Scott.
Well, thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Dave and Carol, huh? We'll be thinking about them. Oh, well. Ooh, Greg calling in. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Hello?
Yes, Greg, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I have the best
Mr. Freeze on for all the St. Louis Blues fans out there right now.
All right, what's that? Yeah.
Let's kick some ice.
Kick some ice. Sound like the thing that the refs would yell at if you're a goaltender, shaving a little ice to the corners of the net. Oh, they'll yell at you if you kick that ice up there. What's so, Greg, okay, you're in the Blues spirit. You're feeling pretty good. They got some late games Wednesday and Thursday this week.
Yes, and I do believe all they have to do is put it on the ice and leave it on the ice.
Yeah.
Let the puck fall where it may, and it should go into the opposite goals
wouldn't
or
that,
goal.
Wouldn't that be nice right? If it's just that easy?
Yeah.
All right, let's go Blues. Thanks, Greg.
Bye.
All right, a little fun for the Blues here tonight. So I thought with the terribly cold weather here in St. Louis, Missouri, who better to give our first impressions of it than Mr. Freeze on that one Batman movie? Was George Clooney the Batman at that point? So Arnold Schwarzenegger played Mr. Freeze, and every line in that movie was basically a pun whenever he had a chance to do it. I looked online. Someone put a montage of it together. You're not allowed to laugh at any of these. You hear that, Producer Mike? No laughing at any of these Mr. Freeze puns. And anyone listening right now, we can do that challenge. You laugh, you lose. Don't laugh. If you laugh, you lose a point. All right.
The Iceman cometh.
Right away, I can't. Right away, I can't even. There's so many more.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy. In this universe, there's only one absolute. Everything freezes.
Man, that wasn't even that good. He's got a bunch of these.
You are not sending me to the cooler. What?
You're not sending me to the cooler. They picked a great person for Mr. Freeze, didn't they?
You are not sending me to the cooler. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
If you laughed once, Producer Mike, what are you? You gotta... Cold as ice over there. Whoa.
Can you feel it coming? The icy cold of space. Ah. After you're frozen, your icy tomb will plummet back to Gotham. Freeze well. Stay cool.
Stay cool.
Stay cool, bird boy.
Stay cool, bird boy. You're laughing. That counts. You're smiling.
Can you be cold, Batman? You have 11 minutes to thaw the bird.
Breezy, I'm feeling hot.
I find that unlikely.
What do you say we heat things up?
My passion thaws for my bride alone.
Ooh. Talk about your cold shoulder.
Frosty!
Frosty! This is what I say when my wife says, hey, do you want anything from Wendy's?
Frosty!
Every time. Hey, I'm going to go drive through Wendy's. Do you want anything?
Frosty!
That's what I say. Exactly. It's almost like they listen to my phone calls.
Unless the city bows to my demands, it's winter fiber here in Gotham. I hate when people talk during the movie.
That's not really a frozen pun, but all of these, and it only gets worse. I'm a minute into the montage. There's still like 2 minutes left in this thing. You believe that? I can't play it. I don't got enough time. You know who's going to join us next? Did you hear in the newsroom? He's new in the KMOX newsroom. He's still learning. He's still getting his footing. You're going to hear more of him. George Sells. He has a great story. In fact, it's a story he told me not that long ago, and it plays into something that was most recently in the news. So Univision has their main anchor, Jorge Ramos. And you may have seen him. You know, he became popular during the campaign trail, you know, with President Trump or whatever it is. You know, he's an activist, news anchor, whatever. So he's down there in Mexico for reporting for Univision, and he actually went down to Venezuela. And during his time with Venezuela, was asking questions to their president, Nicolas Maduro, who's not really their president, but kind of is, went through these fraudulent elections. A lot of turmoil in Venezuela. He's like refusing to step down. He's a dictator, and he's done some pretty terrible things. The people hate him. He's using his power to fight being removed from office. It's a really bad situation. So apparently he said he'll do an interview with Univision. So Univision went down there. Jorge Ramos asked him a question he didn't like and then held him. They would refuse to let him leave. Okay? Kind of scary situation, right? Well, actually, that happened to George Sells in our KMOX newsroom. He's going to tell you that story. He wasn't in Venezuela. He was in Indiana when it happened. It's a crazy story. That's coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
Blues fans, get ready for Wednesday night hockey action.
Hey, Blues fans, Joey Vitale here, and the St. Louis Blues begin their Western California swing with a battle against the Anaheim Ducks. Pre-game show at 8:30, face-off at 9, right here on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX. Let's go, Blues!
Just real quick, we're still watching that portion of I-170 northbound by the airport. So taking a look at some of the traffic cameras there, yeah, there's still a lot of police activity. Just stay away from 170 northbound if you're getting close to that airport. Get off, find a way around it. That's kind of the best thing you can do at this point. Welcome back to Overnight America. From the KMOX newsroom, George Sells, thank you so much for coming in and sharing a story, because there was one in the news just recently. Is it down on Univision? There was a reporter that went down to interview their president that was there and shouldn't be there, Maduro. A lot of controversy going on in Venezuela right now. And what happened was the reporter was held and they wouldn't allow him to leave because he was asking some questions about, you know, some of their citizens eating trash and, you know, just the terrible conditions down in Venezuela. And it reminded me of a story you told me last time we met, which was how you were also held against your will as a reporter when you went up to Indiana to go report on something. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, it's one of those odd things. You ask somebody questions that they don't like. Usually they'll just politely or impolitely ask you to leave, but once in a while it gets a little bit uglier. I was working at WHAS-TV in Louisville, Kentucky at the time, and there was a group called the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan that had shown up in our viewing area several times holding marches in the months prior to this happening. This was back in the late 90s.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to know, Why do you keep coming here? What is the point of doing this? And so we arranged to interview the Imperial Wizard of the American Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, a guy named Jeff Berry, who now I can go back and look him up online and find a lot more about what he was like, and probably should have known better than than to going someplace where he was the host.
But that was quite a drive from Louisville down up to Auburn, Indiana. How many hours?
It's five or six, yeah. It was something like that. So we made the arrangements to do this interview. It was going to be at his home in Auburn, Indiana. And part of the reason I wasn't terribly nervous about it was I had in the past done interviews. I had interviewed David Duke before. I worked in Louisiana.
Okay.
I interviewed David Duke in his living room one time, and says some despicable things and is a despicable person, but he's not somebody you're really scared of when you're sitting across from him.
You didn't get a violent vibe.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, we pull up to Jeff Berry's place, and his house may well have been a Hell's Angels bar.
Really?
And that was probably the first sign of things to be nervous about. But we go inside, we set up, and we start doing this interview and ask him the questions about why they were coming to Louisville in that area, spending so much time there. And then we go into some things. I had spoken to one of his former lieutenants who had found Jesus and, you know, said he wasn't a racist anymore. And he'd written a book, of course, about it.
Okay.
And so we had interviewed him, and he had some unkind things to say. And so I started asking Mr. Berry some questions about this. And this was when he took exception. So
you hit a sore spot when that book came up.
I struck a nerve. There's no question about that. So we finished the interview. It got very cold, though it was cold the whole time. But we finished the interview.
Let me set the scene real quick. Are you alone in the living room, or is he like surrounded by bikers and things? When you say
he has a bunch of his friends in the room with him.
Okay.
In various parts. It's kind of a big room.
So they're just hanging out listening to the interview?
Yeah, there are probably 5-6 other people in the room.
Are they like sharpening knives and things?
No, but like they look like they hadn't been fed in a while. It was a seedy looking group.
Okay.
So finish up the interview, and he looks over me and he says that those questions you asked me were bull, something we won't say on family radio. And he goes, "You're not leaving with those tapes."
Ooh.
And I'm okay. We're leaving. And we start to pack our stuff up. And he motions to a couple of his people, and they start grabbing pieces of our equipment.
Really?
One grabs a light, one grabs the wireless mic, one grabs just whatever's loose.
And what are you doing?
They grab. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
When you're so shocked, you don't react.
Yeah.
That's what this was.
So you weren't trying to stop him at this point or anything?
Well, I eventually, yes, but it was at this point, it was pretty much too late.
Yeah.
And so this gets drawn out. But basically, they take the stuff, and a couple of the bigger guys hit the two exits, and they're standing by the doors.
Oh, boy.
And you're not leaving with those tapes. And being the good journalist, I'm not going to give away my tapes or my notes.
Yeah.
And yes, we are going to leave. And so we start talking, and I basically what I say to him is, if you want to withdraw your permission for me to use this interview, I will not broadcast this interview.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think how we're going to get the heck out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point. And so he wants to talk to my boss. So we get my news director on the phone.
Whoa. So at this point, it feels like a negotiation.
Yeah, it really does.
Whoa.
And talks to her for a little bit. And we go round and round with this. And a couple of times try to move toward the door. And, somebody physically gets in the way. Because at this point, I don't even care about the equipment. I just want to go.
Exactly.
And but blocking the exits. This went on for a solid 45 minutes.
How terrified were
you? Yeah, and it's getting pretty unnerving.
Did you feel like you were in physical harm, or did you feel like they were just hassling you?
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous about it.
So you felt like if it were to escalate, you'd have been in trouble?
Yeah.
Okay,
I didn't feel good about it. Just for no other reason that there were, some big surly looking people in there that looked like they'd been in their share of bar fights.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have any great desire to fight my way out. And this was a really obscure, isolated rural town.
Yeah.
And this place wasn't even in Auburn proper. This was like the greater Auburn Metroplex out of a mile out of town down a road.
Did they have any weapons?
At that moment, no. But then I'll tell you how it played out.
Yeah.
He says, he says to somebody, tell Mr. White he needs to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody goes off and makes a phone call. And so we get to this point and we think he's going to let us leave. And we've got our stuff and we start for the door. And all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. He opens the door. In comes a guy carrying a shotgun.
Oh, man.
With a hoodie up over his head, pulled down.
Like a Klan's hoodie?
No, a hoodie,
sweatshirt
hoodie.
Okay.
Pulled up over his head, but pulled down because he's trying to obstruct some of his face. You can't really see his hair. Pale face. And he walks in and he walks up to me and pumps the shotgun.
Ooh.
And Barry says, "He wants your tapes." And he then proceeds to point the gun at me.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, remember I was talking earlier about journalism and you don't give up your notes? It's amazing how fast that all went out the window when a gun was introduced into the situation.
That's crazy.
Now it was like, we're getting the heck out of here.
So how do a bunch of guys hanging around, they have no weapons, but then they got to call in reinforcements to the enforcer to come in and do something?
I don't even know what the situation was.
Oh,
I don't know if they... I don't know if any of them were armed or not.
No.
We'll never know. At that point, though, I was done.
Yeah.
And the photographer I was with, she wasn't interested in hanging around either.
Was a woman photographer.
Yeah.
So how was her demeanor through all of this?
Oh, she was a pro. She was as upset as I was, nervous and everything else, but you keep a poker face, and that's what I did my best to do, and she did as well.
Oh,
And did a fine job of it. But long story short, we popped the tape.
give him the tape, and we bolt.
Yeah. No funny business. You didn't think about
it. Yeah, we were just, we were done.
You're like, I'm not switching the tape or anything. You're not going to try to do any funny
moves. We had tried to record what was going on at one point.
And just left
the camera rolling. And somebody had noticed that it was rolling, and they didn't get too bent out of it. They were just like, she's got that camera going, you know, that sort of thing. But
yeah,
we go out and we leave. And I know you're running short on time, so let me wrap through this. We leave. We head straight for the sheriff's department so we can file a report. They bring in the Illinois State Police. There's a detective from there who has been trying to get this guy, nail this guy for a while. He takes our report, and we take off.
Yeah.
Go back to Louisville. And
it's a long 6 hours
long
in the car to talk
drive.
About what just happened.
And then it's crickets. Nothing.
Yeah.
And we're wondering what's going on. Well, for whatever reason, maybe because it was an election year and maybe there were enough people around that agreed with the Klan in northeastern Indiana, but the prosecutor wasn't going to press any charges.
Wow.
It's their word against he said it was our word against theirs. And there was no tape. They never found a tape. They went to look for the tape,
yeah,
and it was gone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Shocker.
Yeah, they really.
So they couldn't find any
one.
Of our property, and there, you know, no evidence. So that's what he said, and that was going to be the end of it. So we get contacted by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with them,
well,
they follow
sure, yeah.
hate groups, and Morris Dees was still involved at the time, and Richard Cohen, who has since replaced Morris Dees when he retired as running the whole organization, was actually the attorney who represented us. Mm-hmm. They contacted us and asked if they could file a lawsuit on our behalf because the prosecutor wasn't going to do anything. So they said, we'll try to break them in a different way, try to break them
wow.
in civil court.
Wait, was it on your behalf or on the papers or the, excuse
no,
me,
it was
the
on
TV
our,
station?
It was on our behalf as individuals.
Oh, okay.
And so they filed the suit in federal court. Long story short, Barry didn't respond to anything, and so basically the judge found in our favor because there's – and I won't get into the legalese of it, but basically if you're sued and you just ignore it,
yeah.
then they can just find in the person filing the suit's favor.
Well, sure.
So that's what they did. And after this is after almost a year, and the folks from Fort Wayne, the journalists from Fort Wayne started going up and knocking on this prosecutor's door and saying, well – they've been found, you know, Mr. Barry's been found guilty of kidnapping in federal court.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you doing anything?
Yeah.
And so he finally did press charges. We were supposed to go back up and testify. We were on the road driving back up there to testify in that trial when they cut a plea bargain and Mr. Barry pled guilty and did 3 years in prison for
him. Oh, wow.
So
3 years in prison. That's it.
That was the end of it.
Well, I guess three. I guess that's a...
He actually served three. It wasn't like three where you get out and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
He actually served 3 years in prison. So
wow, what a crazy story.
Yeah, and it all stemmed from asking some questions that he didn't like having asked. And
yeah.
as a journalist, you learn some lessons from something like that. I was much younger then. And
he expect? Like you're going to sit down and talk philosophy of the Klan with him or something?
Well, you know, every other story like that I had ever done had been something along those lines.
Yeah.
You have to remember the time. David Duke was just finished with his near run at the Louisiana governor's office. And he got to where he got by wearing bad suits and talking down all of the stereotypical Klan stuff and trying to talk about, you know, civil rights for white people was his big talking point. And that was what they were trying to be, this kinder, gentler sort of thing.
Yeah.
And had done a couple of stories since then. And that seemed to be the modus operandi for what were essentially still hate groups.
Yeah.
But they were trying to ditch the tough guy image and be a little more, you know, try to make themselves more palatable. And this guy was a complete departure from that. And,
yeah.
you know, quite frankly, I just wasn't really prepared for it as well as I should have
no
been.
No kidding. So whatever happened to Jeff Barry?
Jeff Barry eventually got into some kind of a dispute with his son, who was also involved in Klan activities.
Is this after he got out of jail?
Yes, this was after he was out of prison. His son beat him to a point that he almost died and ended up in a nursing home.
Oh, wow.
And he died sometime in the last 5 or 6 years, as I recall.
Interesting.
I actually got a call from... I got a call from a reporter up that way asking for my reaction one day that Jeff Barry was dead.
And they somehow found your name associated probably in some previous articles.
You
can, and
if you Google my name, you'll find that story someplace.
Wow. So just out of the blue, you get a call. Hey, what's your reaction? You had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea. And
you had probably no emotion?
Not really. I mean, you know, nature took its course.
It's weird to think you were kidnapped. You were technically officially kidnapped.
Technically, that was kidnapping, yes. Yeah. I mean, nobody took me somewhere else. It was more like they just wouldn't let you leave. But, my son claims he's kidnapped by his middle school on a daily basis, if you take that definition. But
much different than when the entire government of Venezuela holds you. But similarly enough, still kind of the same idea where a journalist goes in, asks some questions. They don't like what was being asked of them, and they're held against their will.
And difference being, I at least eventually was able to get some kind of satisfaction out of the whole deal, and I don't know if that's going to happen with the government of Venezuela.
No, probably not. George Sells from the contributing now in the KMOX newsroom. Thank you for sharing that story.
No problem. Glad to be here.
What a cool story. Well, not cool at the time, but after the fact, go back and listen to it. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Back to Overnight America. What do we got here? You know, I wanted to mention this, and I got to say, I'm a little perplexed. Police released their final arrest numbers for Mardi Gras over the weekend in St. Louis. What I didn't realize about Mardi Gras was that it's the nation's second largest celebration for Mardi Gras behind New Orleans. They believe it to be the second largest. I don't know how they come across those numbers, but I saw the aerial shots on Reddit where people were taking photos of the crowds. You know, there's tens of thousands of people out there. Lots and lots of people celebrating that sort of thing. And it's not for me at all. Not even a little bit. When I look at crowds in general, you add drinking to the mix. There was a picture online of a dude that I don't know if he purchased. I hope he purchased this and didn't actually empty out a red gas tank and fill it with liquor or booze or whatever was in there, beer or whatever. So it shows him drinking out of this red gas can. And I'm thinking, please, I hope he bought that off the shelf at a store somewhere and not drain the gas and then reuse it that way. Because that's the last thing we need is a fatality at one of these things too. But I'm looking online and I'm seeing videos of people fighting each other. And I know historically speaking, people talk about how the ground becomes a toilet for events like this. And, you know, I hear these things and I think, man, what a wild and crazy thing. Who would go to that? And then I read this report. St. Louis police say 28 arrests were made during the 40th annual Mardi Gras weekend. 28 is so low compared to the size of the crowd. 28 is nothing. That's 28 was all they arrested. So maybe I'm just getting the wrong impression online. If you actually attended, this is what I am having a hard time understanding. Is it something where the police turn a blind eye, or is it actually that peaceful where it only warrants a small amount of intervention? So here's how it breaks down. 6 people were arrested for assault, 3 people for peace disturbance, 1 for driving while intoxicated, 1 for urinating in public, and 17 for minors in possession of alcohol. The urinating in public thing is what surprised me the most. They give this impression that it's, you know, a bunch of people losing their contents of their stomach, probably all liquid in their stomach at that point, that early, and people using the ground as a toilet. I'm surprised that the number was only 1 for urinating in public, and that was it. So it made me wonder, is it just that as long as you're not hurting anyone or causing any trouble, they're not going to pick you up or do whatever, and you can just, it's like part of the game. And as long as you're not bothering anyone, you're free to go. Is that what goes on during this? Or is it something like, this is basically the flip side of what I would expect for one of these things. Normally, when you think lots of alcohol equals really bad decisions by a lot of people. You have tens of thousands of people, plus open containers, plus going out and everyone encouraging each other to overdrink and tempers and whatever. I think, whoa, this is going to be a dangerous powder keg that could explode at any time. Then you look at the results and you look at the numbers from the police and you say it's actually the exact opposite of what I would expect from something like this. So what can we learn from Mardi Gras? Why can't we always, I mean, this is just the opposite. Why can't we always be this good? Right? St. Louis, why can't you always be on this behavior? I'm not saying that I endorse any of it, but shouldn't you always be on your best behavior? But still, how, even in the conditions where things could turn terrible, you're on your good behavior? How does that work? And then all the other news stories written about this city, we talk about the carjackings and the shootings. We talk about all of these problems that we have, and there's always a racial component to it, and we got our own issues. Sure, whatever. Why can't we figure this out like they can figure it out at Mardi Gras celebration? I just don't know. That story was on KMOX.com. One other thing, too. I saw this one. This is on KMOX. Missouri is moving to revoke the license of a suburban St. Louis daycare center after two workers were charged with abuse. Now, I understand that they're challenging this. Governor Mike Parson said on Monday that he's starting to work with a group to examine child care issues. Come on now. Did it have to really take this long for the state to say, well, if you have a child care fight club, maybe it's best that you don't operate a child care? Or if your people and the people you hire are hostile and they're throwing kids around where they require medical attention, then maybe you shouldn't be operating a health care or a child care or whatever. I think this goes beyond just some bad actors working inside of a business. This is, you hire these people, you're responsible for these people. You're hiring people at, you know, probably minimum wage. Who knows if you're doing background checks? Who knows what standards you did, the due diligence of people that are trusting you with their children, the most precious thing in the world. Yes, you're responsible when this happens under your roof. And yes, you should not be able to operate if you have these type of things happening inside. So why does it take state intervention? How come we can't just figure this stuff out on our own? It's about time they tried to figure something like this out. All right, coming up in the next hour, there's an article, and this is the headline: girls should not pay the price when boys don't want to compete against them. A little controversial. I want to get your thoughts on it next on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.